Continue our look through the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament and the wisdom that the philosopher who writes this book has put down. We're reading today in chapter 3 words that are probably the most familiar of this whole book. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. Well, so sang American pop group The Byrds in 1965. I don't quite remember it. Taking the song to the top of the US Billboard Hot 100 and to number 26 in the UK chart. The song is a bit of an earworm, really, isn't it? And I wonder how many people have realized over the years that as they have sung along to it or hummed it, that they were singing words taken directly from the Bible. In fact, in 1999, Pete Seeger, the writer of the song, donated 45% of royalties from this song to the Israel Committee Against House Demolitions. He kept 50% for the music and an additional 5% for the lyrics. He explained with some humour, I feel, that in addition to the music, he did write 6 words and 1 more word repeated 3 times. Those words were, of course, turn, 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 and right at the end of the song, after it says, a time for peace, I swear it's not too late. And that was it. Well, having only just got back from holiday, Friday lunchtime, I don't know what John and Jenny have said in the previous 2 weeks already about the book of Ecclesiastes. It's often a book that's been attributed to Solomon, son of King David. Some say it may have been written on behalf of the king, kind of in in his name, although his name is never actually mentioned in Ecclesiastes. And the writer refers to himself as Koheleth, or the teacher, or as Jeff referred there, the philosopher. And it's one of those Marmite books, I think. People tend to love it or to loathe it. All is vanity, life is meaningless, seems to be a constant refrain of the book of Ecclesiastes. Should such sentiments even be in the Bible, some might ask. Surely the purpose of faith is to be told that life has meaning, not that it's meaningless. Isn't Jesus the answer to life, the universe, and everything? To which I'd say yes, but I love that the teacher in Ecclesiastes gives us permission to ask questions of life, the universe, and everything. There is a time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. And it seems as though the whole of life is covered in the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. It might seem, as we read through those sayings, those couplets, that there is a positive and a negative in each of the times that are referred to. So, a time to be born, positive. A time to die, negative. A time to plant, positive. And a time to uproot, negative, unless, of course, it's harvest time. A time to kill, negative. And a time to heal, positive. A time to weep, negative. And a time to laugh, positive. In each of the time sayings, we could potentially see a positive and a negative. And we might wish to be free of the negatives. But is it really true? Because without the reality of death, for example, new life would have less meaning. Without loss, love would be less fulfilling. As Queen Elizabeth reminded us in the loss of her beloved husband, grief is the price we pay for love. And without weeping, rejoicing would be less fulsome, and vice versa. Even without war, peace might be less eagerly desired. These sayings are not so much positives and negatives as things that go together. And by them, the teacher is telling us how life is. He is saying that these things are inevitable, but that there is hope in them and through them. And this morning, I want to briefly ask the question, how are we to find that hope? How are we to find hope in the inevitabilities of life? The first thing I want to say is that time is in God's hands. Our time is in God's hands. I hope this isn't too self-indulgent of me, but I want to talk for a few moments about my Uncle Terry, who died about 10 days ago. We've never been a close family, either ever living close to one another or seeing each other often. But nonetheless, in my sort of childhood years and even into teen years, we would occasionally perhaps stay with them for a few days' holiday down in the West Country and in Exeter and Ilfracombe, where he moved to subsequently. And I've seen him a few times off and on over the years. But it's been quite a few years since I last saw him. He had a few ups and downs in life, including a broken marriage in the 1970s and the deaths of two subsequent wives, with one of whom he had a son whom I've never met. He was by 11 months my dad's younger brother, so very close together, really. Where my dad was the academic grammar school pupil, my Uncle Terry was the practical one. I don't really know much about his working life, except that for many years he was a watch repairer in Ilfracombe, at a time when that meant changing springs rather than just changing batteries. Every working day he will have held time in his hands. But most importantly, he had a Christian faith, and he knew that his time was in God's hands. Now, in Ecclesiastes, the teacher is telling us that the whole of our lives is in God's hands from beginning to ending. The unbeliever will tend to say, you're born, you live, you die. The believer in Jesus might say, also, you're born, you live, you die, you live. So there's something more that comes to us, isn't there, when we have that faith in God through Jesus Christ. Nor atheist nor agnostic are protected from the challenges and heartbreaks of life. And I think that the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying this. This is just how life is. But as believers, we are called to trust in the purpose, even when we struggle to make sense of what's happened to us. In Psalm 135, and says to the Lord, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days of my life were written, came to be. All of us have lost, I'm sure. Some of us have lost people we love and we can't explain it. And maybe it's that we stand just too close to the challenging things in our life. Made time, as we've sung this morning, sees the end from the beginning. And we can find hope in that, especially. So that's the first thing that I wanted to say, really, that time and our time is in God's hands, and confidence in that. Second thing I want to say is that we need to make the most. Now, I respect his wishes, but rather sadly, in my view, my Uncle Terry had decided to have an. So, as I'm not going to the funeral because there isn't going to be one, I phoned my Auntie Marlene yesterday. She's the last auntie or aunt's blood relative in that category. And as I reminded her, she was the baby of the family, the youngest of my dad's siblings, but she is now the matriarch. Ha! And it was good to catch up. And we chatted about her brother, my uncle, and we talked about the importance of making the most of our time. She gladly had been able to see her brother at Christmas time and spend time with him. At that stage, he didn't want to tell anyone that he was terminally ill, but she guessed it from just being with him and looking at him. But we talked about the importance of making the most of our time. And we said, yes, we believe in eternity, but we have only one earthly life. For the believer, life is not a mere stopgap until death, but an assignment, a gift from God. So how are we going to enjoy the gift and use it for the glory of God? How are we going to make the most of time? The answer that the Apostle Paul gives us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is this. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Therefore, I urge you. You've probably heard before that in the Bible, where there is a therefore, you've got to ask what it's there for. And if you go back through Romans, Paul is very much talking about all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And so at the end of chapter 11, as it moves into chapter 12 with that verse, he says, therefore, in view of all of this that God has done for you, offer yourselves, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. What does that mean practically? I find the Message version really helpful here. This is how the Message version puts it. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. So that's really good. I encourage you to look that one up. Maybe you've heard it before, but in the Message paraphrase, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And particularly the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message, there is no sacred secular divide, as if somehow what we do on a Sunday is more important than what we do the rest of the week. And as if it's only through church stuff that we truly worship God. We're called to make everything count, seems to me. From factory to family, from leisure to love, from high days to holidays, from celebration to serving. Carpe diem. Seize the day, as the saying goes, each day that God gives, and offer it back to Him as a thank offering for everything He's done for you. Wonder how often we take time to just stop and do that in our daily lives, to say, Lord, here's my work for today that lies in front of me, or maybe behind me. Perhaps at the start of the day, just laying it before God, or laying our family time before God and saying, Lord, I want to give this to You and do my best for them as my act of worship before You. How often might we stop at the end of the day to offer the things that we have done back to God as a thank offering for everything He's done for us and a celebration of what we've done through the day? So our time is in God's hands, and we need to make the most of time. Third thing I want to say is about this. Everything beautiful in its time. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. At the end of the 14 couplets reflecting on time, the teacher seems to come back to rather depressing thoughts. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. But then he strikes a more hopeful note. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. I wonder what other couplets we might add to those in Ecclesiastes. Possibly if you are meeting in life groups in the coming week, this is something you might think about. What are the other things? A time for this, a time for that. I thought to myself, one thing that affects us all, and clearly in the wake of my uncle's death, maybe we might say there is a time to be well and a time to be ill. Because it's just one of those things of life, isn't it? It's a reality for all of us. As I was finishing off this sermon early this morning, I was half glancing at BBC Breakfast, and they were showing how a man with motor neurone disease, Ian Flatt, was being supported in doing a 100-mile trek around the Yorkshire Dales, finishing today, appropriately, I think, at England's highest pub, the Tan Hill Inn. It's a great stopping off point on the Pennine Way, I know from experience. But don't get there too early. I know that from experience as well. Although it won't open for you. But here is a man in Ian Flatt who has been well but is now terminally ill. He could have just, I guess, given up, couldn't he? Well, what will be, will be. I'm going to die, so let's just get on with it. But instead, he is living life to the full while he has it. And I think there's something beautiful in that, just as there's something beautiful in those who are supporting him in the bits that his wheelchair won't manage without their help. Even the deepest and darkest places of our lives, the deepest and darkest places of need, can be turned into something beautiful and bring out the best in people. And perhaps they give us a glimpse of the best that is yet to come, of the eternity that God has set in each human heart, which causes so many to reach out for the one who is beyond ourselves and yet closer to us than we are ourselves. Time is in God's hands. Make the most of your time. Everything is beautiful in its time. As I think about these things, I can't help but think of God entering into our time in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus will have learnt these words from Ecclesiastes. He will have lived their reality as we do. And Jesus set the example for us to make the most of our time, using opportunities that came his way to share faith and forgiveness, and getting alongside people in their lives and their losses. He didn't let time master him, but he used it to serve, whilst also, it seems to me, enjoying time with family and friends and Father God. And at a particular time, in a particular place, he submitted to death on a cross so that we can have life to the full, here and now, and in eternity. In him, we can find hope and meaning in the inevitabilities of life, and the hope of eternity with him always. Amen.